Okay, hello and welcome. Can everybody hear me? I wasn't sure what kind of turnout we'd have today for this, but I'm glad to see that some of you chose to come and listen to this today. We are collecting business cards for a little fun at the end, so if you haven't got your business card into this basket here that Lisa's holding, make sure you do that before we get to the end of the session. So I'm going to try to make it worth your while for sticking with me. My name is Tim Rowe. I'm the web project manager at Butler University on the web services team. Work with Lisa, and we have two other developers on our team, rather small team, but we work in the information technology department with about five other teams, ranging from networking services to the academic classroom technology and so on. And I've been at the university for about 6 years, and the experience that we had this last spring was something that I don't think any of us had ever experienced before. With the basketball team doing as well as it did, one thing that we didn't really foresee is how that was going to impact us technology-wise. So one of the things that I'll be talking about is that make sure that you're ready for such madness. I'll be going at a pretty fast pace because there's a lot to cover. I have a newfound appreciation for people who present at Hyatt Webb because putting this together has been pretty nerve-wracking. And trying to whittle it down into a 35-minute or 40-minute presentation has been rather tough. I've gotten a little help here. So, like I said, Lisa's here with us. Nancy Leisen is with us as well from web marketing. She's not on the slide, but she is here as well. Nate Partenheimer, he's one of our network guys who contributed a lot of data. It's been kind of interesting the last couple weeks and months, kind of going back through everything that happened in detail and reliving all the experience and trying to whittle it down, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of emails and IMs and everything that we went through. But he was very helpful. Just a little bit of apologies to everybody here and the coordinators of the conference. Originally, this was supposed to be kind of a three-way presentation, but for logistical reasons, we kind of whittled it down to just one person, and that became me. So I'm here to do my best. Sheila is actually leaving the university pretty soon. Unfortunately, she's going to be leaving at the end of the month, but we wish her well. But she did contribute some ideas to this presentation as well. I need to make a quick disclaimer before I jump on the roller coaster here, that I'm not here to promote any particular technology. I will be mentioning some specific technologies, but obviously I'm not here trying. You know, I'm not being paid to do so. I'm not getting any kickbacks for it. But I do just, you know, mention that, you know, the technology that we did happen to have on hand and that we utilized. So you're basically here to kind of hear about two stories. One, you probably already know pretty well because that's why you're here. You read the summary of the session. You know what Butler did. You watched it on television. You saw the men's basketball team, you make it all the way to the final game and lose in the final seconds. So you know that story. We'll kind of relive that a little bit. But there's another story that you probably didn't even think about, you know, behind the scenes, technology-wise and otherwise. And so I'm going to do a little bit of an overview of what happened behind the scenes. Simplified technical explanation. I realize this isn't the propeller head session, but I can't really, you know, help but get into the details of a little bit of the technology because that's kind of required to sort of explain what we did. And kind of a condensed time frame. And then at the very end, of course, talking about the people that really kind of brought this all together and lessons learned. So the story that you know and know pretty well is Once Upon a Basketball Dream. We watched the team progress through the tournament. We all got really excited. And I have to admit, I'm not really much of a sports fan, but you couldn't help but get caught up in this on campus. I mean, viewing parties with, you know, hundreds of students, you know, the vibe in the room as we were progressing through all these games was pretty intense, you know, and making history by, you know, getting to the Elite Eight for the first time. So yeah, it was quite an experience for the basketball team and for the university. But the story I want to tell is Once Upon a Technical Nightmare. I don't think any of us really realized what impact this was going to make as they progressed through here. So another way of phrasing this is how to scale your website in 10 days. Obviously, this isn't really a how-to. It's how we managed to get it done. And I just want to emphasize that this isn't so much a, you know, hey, take this back and do something with it kind of a session. This is really just me telling a story of what we did. And hopefully, it will kind of spark a conversation with some of you for the rest of the week. I'd like to kind of talk about, you know, building blocks for making this better for us next time. That's one of the things I'm hoping to kind of achieve out of being here this week. So how can we, you know, structure our technology in a way that will support this sort of wave, hopefully next spring. So again, that's our strategy. Just some basic information that I need to cover. We're talking about the butler.edu website. This is not the athletic site, which is butlersports.com. They have a contract with Presto Sports that manages that. So sometimes when I mention this to people, they're like, well, what's the big deal? You have Presto Sports? No. We're talking about the .edu site that's hosted on our servers in-house, on our network, and our pipe. And again, just basic information for those of you who want to know. We are a Microsoft shop. We use Windows IIS Server, .NET Development Technologies, and SQL Server for our database. So that comes into play a little bit as I kind of break down what we did. For those of you who haven't been to our website in a while, this is what it looks like. It's actually looked like this for quite a while, our look and feel. And the only reason I show this is just so that you know this is attention, what we intended to deliver when people came to butler.edu, but this isn't what they always got necessarily. And that as constructed, as you know, websites are coming from various systems and kind of built by pieces. So we've got, you know, our RSS feeds and news manager feeds and several things kind of coming together on the fly to form this page. And that becomes kind of a critical factor as we kind of figure out where can we cut corners to make the content be delivered as quickly as possible when we're, you know, exceeding the traffic that we saw. So jumping in, kind of getting on the horse and going here as a quick tournament review. We had three separate weekends to deal with, you know, the Thursday, Saturday, and then the Saturday, Monday. And so the first game was a win, and the traffic was pretty mild. We were okay. We didn't think anything of it. And then the Saturday game comes, and we start to notice a little bit of a problem. Not a huge spike, but some issues. And it starts to kind of get our attention and create a little bit of a conversation going, well, by the time we get to the next weekend, where we're in the Sweet 16, and then on to the Elite Eight, we definitely saw some issues, and I'll get to that in a minute, that we needed to address. And then, of course, the final two games were actually in our hometown of Indianapolis, and so we had all kinds of hubbub and the spotlight, which drove even more attention to our website. So things didn't get any easier for us, that's for sure. So just kind of a visual of this, as you can see, I'm comparing this is rough data, it's visits, and it's compared to the dates of last year, of 2009 to 2010. And so those dates don't necessarily match up with basketball games per se, but you can definitely see a trend that once we get to this game here, we start to peak a little bit, and then once we get past the Sweet 16, we really start to spike. So normally we see about 5,000 to 10,000 visits a day, and we were getting all the way up to 137,000. Now, these numbers here, so that's about 15 to 20 times the traffic that we're used to getting, these numbers here are probably a little conservative at the end of this chart because of the technology that we end up implementing, which I'll explain in a minute. Because of caching, we probably weren't going back and tripping Google Analytics all the time. So these numbers are probably pretty low. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that we exceeded 200,000 in some cases. So one of the things I talk about in this is that kind of being prepared. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And that, so you'll see this little shamrock show up every once in a while. We've been doing the right thing for a while in terms of disaster recovery projects, redundancy of our data center and systems, moving to virtualization. These are all projects that we've worked on over the last several years. We got lucky in that the last web server to go to virtual was our web server, and it was happened about 3 weeks before this all hit. So it was a lucky thing that we did that, because you'll see in a minute how that comes into play. Again, not here to tout any particular technology, but we happen to be the owner of two F5 brand big IP local traffic manager appliances, which, as you'll see, become kind of the brains of the operation towards the end, and again, another serendipitous move for us. And then we have a new network operations center or server room. We had a new pharmacy building built last summer. And in the fall of last year, it went live. And in its basement is a new state-of-the-art NOC that we definitely took advantage of as this all came around. So again, just some of the doing the right things all along the way. Upgrading our CMS. We had a homegrown CMS for several years that we wrote, and it just wasn't suiting the bill. So we eventually upgraded and shopped around and landed on Umbraco. Some of you may have heard of Umbraco. It's an open source content management system out of Copenhagen, Denmark, and it's .NET framework and allows us a lot of flexibility. Not a CMS for everybody, but for us, since we have in-house .NET developers, it works well for and scales well for Butler. We have about 150 websites, which is probably pretty conservative compared to some of you, but and about 6,000 web pages that we've migrated over the last 18 months in that project. So all those things kind of contributed to our success in different ways. So kind of marching through our dates here, Sweet 16, and we start noticing some website errors, extreme wait times during the game, or some cases, people weren't getting anything at all, which is completely unacceptable. We had some issues with the CMS, people trying to log in and make edits during that time. They were getting all kinds of bizarre errors and inconsistent results. You know, we tried some basic things, you know, rebooting servers, restarting processes. None of that was working. We did verify this was not malicious traffic. You know, it wasn't somebody trying to, you know, denial of service attack on Butler or anything. It was all legitimate, you know, traffic of people trying to find out about Butler. So during the game is when this all kind of started to come out. We started realizing we're having issues. And so IT members are all hopping on email and we're kind of communicating. And this sort of, you know, flash mob project sort of occurs on email. And we realize, wow, we've got an issue we've got to address here. So we have this late night conference call with a whole slew of us and try to decide, you know, what we can do. So the very next day on Friday, we have a kickoff meeting for this whole thing, you know, all hands on deck. And you'll see in a little bit how, you know, people were coming in for this that really shouldn't have been coming in, but they did what they had to do to make this work. And this is just kind of a funny slide to me. We had a lot of emails going around, but we happen to have one networking guy named Jesus. But I can't help when I look at the email, it says Jesus is going to dial in. I'm thinking, yeah, we got the big guns. So anyway, it's just, this kind of tickled me, so I had to include it in there. So on Friday, before the Elite Eight, we had our meeting, and we immediately concluded after some discussions, okay, we can't go to the cloud. It's too late for that. We don't have time. We don't have money to do that. And we've been doing all the right things, so we should be able to do this ourselves with the resources and people that we have. One discovery that we made that day as well that may have contributed slightly to our issue the previous night was that the virtualized web server that we had recently done had been unprovisioned. It was supposed to be 4 processors and 4 gig of memory, but it was only half that. So we doubled that, you know, right away. That was, oops, you know, we got to get that fixed. So that was taken care of. And then another sort of lucky moment for us, there was another project that was going on for Oracle PeopleSoft upgrade, and we had some Sun Blade servers coming in that were sitting around just kind of waiting to be used. And we kind of said, well, that project's going to have to wait. We need to use that hardware to solve this problem. So we got a little lucky in that we had a couple blades sitting around to help us do some more virtualization. Because normally that would be at least a 2-day acquisition, probably more like 10. By then it would have been way too late. So using that hardware, we created two new virtual servers in addition to our standard web server. Load balanced them with the F5 technology. You know, we tried some little things like changing application pool recycle intervals on the server. So instead of doing it, you know, tripping it and refreshing it every 2,000 requests, we basically just said, no, just do it every 30 minutes. We played around with that time a little bit. And then some other simple little things that we changed on the server in terms of minimizing Umbraco file notifications so that, you know, just basically minimizing chatter between systems, doing whatever we can just to try to, you know, free up bandwidth, so to speak, wherever we could. And if you're not familiar with the F5 device, this is what the LTM 6400 looks like. We happen to have 2 of these. It kind of becomes the hero in all this at the end of the day. So 2 things we discovered during this time were that people wanted to know, who is Butler and where is Butler? What is this Butler thing? So, you know, they were basically looking for some basic information about, you know, how long we've been around, something about our campus, you know, how many students you have, tell us about your colleges. You know, where are you? Well, basically, we're six miles from downtown Indianapolis, right there, smack dab in the middle of Indiana. So those were the 2 things that people wanted to know. We kind of determined that from our analytics. So one of the things that we immediately did on Friday, the day before the Elite Eight, was we took that website, page, the home page that I showed you, and we basically turned it into a static HTML page. Again, just to minimize chatter from these other systems, which meant that we had to put some things in a static HTML page that normally we would prefer to be delivered dynamically, but we just couldn't in this case. So, and we hosted this, we split it off and hosted it on those two new virtual servers. So that way when people would come to the home page, it eliminated that need to go to the CMS, talk to the SQL server and the web server, eliminate the feeds. And we also created, as a backup, a splash page. This was kind of a last resort. And we hosted it at a discount, a place called Discount ASP that we use. I think it's in California. It's an offsite host that we use for, something that came up in the DR project, which was, in the case of a real emergency, we basically switch DNS and force everything off to this destination just in case we need to still communicate and we can't do anything with our internal server room. So we had one hosted there, and we also hosted one on the virtual server. So Saturday comes along, right? Elite 8. The idea is that the visitor would come to butler.udu. They receive the static homepage, and if they click on the athletics link, they go off to the Presto Sports site. If they click on any other link that would require the CMS, the web server and the SQL server combination, if, as long as the F5 determined that everything's normal, then it would go ahead and deliver that. So the F5 kind of became the doctor for us to find out if everything was okay and healthy. Otherwise, they would see the splash page. Now, I'm no network engineer, and I'm not all that great at diagramming, but I tried to put this in a visual where if the web visitor is coming in, they're basically being served this static content from these virtuals, and then only if they need to click off does the F5 become involved, and then our web server, which we happen to call Toad, we use the Thomas the Train Engine naming schema, so all of our servers are named after Thomas the Train Engine, so Toad is a brake van, I believe, and so then it obviously communicates with our SQL cluster. And then if all else fails, they get a splash page. Again, the visitor receives something. Right? That was our basic premise. Now, this was the first splash page that we got back from University Relations. It did its job, I suppose, but this was all an image. So it wasn't. There was no HTML. It mentions butlersports.com, but we can't click anywhere, and it's kind of minimal. So it got the job done for the first round, but this is what we had. You'll see we had something better next. So what happened? Did it work? Yes. We got a little bit of improvement over Thursday's issues. The project team is continually monitoring the status of the website day and night, and we're communicating via email and IM. The static homepage was a little slow, but it did function. And we happened to lose one Blade server during all this, one of the physical machines that's handling the virtualization. It crashed for about 10 minutes due to a memory error. But we were able to bring that back up. And then at some point, clicks to the internal pages just started producing the splash page because the web server was just overrun. So we had another spontaneous conference call with the team on Sunday. And then at this point, we realized that web marketing is saying, well, the static thing's not really working for us. We need to figure out a way to make it kind of what it used to be. We realize that you've got technical concerns, but we've got marketing concerns. So we go to work to figure that out. So bright and early on that following Monday, we have a project meeting. And one engineer, he said, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. I know that none of us have seen anything like this at little old Butler. So this was something. Now, one thing that kind of emerged during this time frame was this sort of manual content change process. The only reason I bring it up is because just from this point forward, just know that we're kind of doing this on a regular basis. Anytime that someone wanted to change content, then we had to go and recycle app pools, we had to resync the server scripts, and we had to flush the F5 cache, the brains of the operation, each and every time. It became a little tedious, but it worked most of the time. So, and that was Lisa's job to do about half of that. So, all right, so continuing with that week, we're meeting several times a day. Sometimes we're meeting, cranking out ideas, and we're going and implementing them, and an hour later we're coming back and seeing if it worked. And these little, agile cycles, of ideas, we're feverishly, and you talk about March Madness. I mean, it was definitely madness. And luckily, F5 agrees to send us a sales engineer and kind of help our internal network engineers configure the F5. And we were offered a 30-day free trial license, which was a $25,000 savings, which enabled us to do a web accelerator, the web accelerator module, which enabled us to do the caching of content. And that became a really huge thing as we move forward. So that was another stroke of luck. So the F5 really kind of becomes the star player of this and acts as our primary content server. So we continue on, we keep doing the splash page like we've been doing in terms of external and internally. And then we use the virtualization at this point now, the second iteration of all this, is that we create this Toad farm, what we jokingly called the Toad farm, because our web server was called Toad. So we replicated those, created four, you know, load balanced web servers on the fly with our virtualization, and also did the same with our SQL server as just read-only replicates. We still utilized our SQL cluster, but if that really just didn't work, if it, you know, bit the dust, then there'd be these read-only replicates that could be used. So this time around, we get a better splash page designed. It actually has some HTML in it. People can actually click on things and do things, and they get a little bit more information. So they can go onto the sports site, and more importantly, they can apply online for Butler University. The online application is hosted on a server that was not part of this equation at all. So that always worked. So our second diagram from a web project manager attempting to be a network engineer. Traffic comes in from the outside, hits the F5 first. So it kind of becomes the web server. And as people continue to come, it's caching the content from over here so that it can just serve it from itself. And then only if needed would it go back to the Toad farm and the SQL cluster. And then, of course, the splash page still lived on this virtual server. So again, the visitor received something. In fact, they received something a lot better than what they had received the previous time. This is a networking diagram. I don't expect you to necessarily follow this. This is essentially saying the same thing, but what impressed me is our engineers are diagramming this stuff as we're going. We're cycling at a rapid pace, and every time we came up with a new scheme, they actually diagram it. So they were very, very diligent at what they did, but I just thought it was interesting. Nate shared this with me. He goes, yeah, we have pictures of all those. I'm like, oh my goodness. I thought it was just kind of moving too fast to do that, but apparently not. So Saturday, April 3rd comes. Now we're into the final four. You know, Indianapolis is flooded with people, and we're going crazy. There was a couple minor engineering mistakes that were made that caused things to kind of blip for just a little bit. We had some unrelated media sync script issues, so there were things that went down, some other miscellaneous technical issues. It wasn't perfect. I'm not here to, again, this is not a true how-to. This is the way you guys should do this. Well, I'm here to learn, because I know we can do this better. So we definitely made some mistakes, and I'm not afraid to say that was the case. And so again, we have a conference call during the game. And so it wasn't perfect, but it was still a huge improvement considering the amount of traffic that we're getting. And, you know, most people were getting something. So now it's Sunday, April 4th. It's the day before the final game. We're still experiencing some of those same issues. And then we no sooner get things in place, we go through that little process of change, and then marketing would need us to change something again. So about 8 o'clock that night, I think we made the last change. And we kind of put it to bed and said, okay, well, let's see how we do on Monday. And we also determined that one of the things we need to do at this point really is just communicate that, hey, right now, whether you like it or not, everybody's focused on Butler basketball. We don't really care about, you know, some rinky-dink award given to some faculty member in your department. Sorry, this is critical. So please don't make any more changes. We have about 200 people that I've trained in Umbraco, and I basically blasted out an email to all of them and said, right now, please don't make any changes. Here's why. If you need to, please contact us. So just, you know, some simple communication and getting everybody on board to help out. So championship game comes. You know, like I said, the majority of the content is served from the F5, you know, Toad Farm and the SQL cluster. They do their job. It gets minimal traffic. It holds up well. The splash page was served for a little bit of time, but it wasn't too bad. And just, these are quick stats. I've got a lot of data backloaded on the slides if we've got time. But, you know, that final game, like I said before, we got about 131,000 visitors, 312,000 page views, and there was about 2.3 pages viewed per visit. So there's the geek data. There's the technical aspect of it. Now, moving on to the people aspect of it, I think that's really where it was, what it was about, is that we had some really smart people that we've hired, some good people that came together. And this is not everybody, but you know, this is a good portion of the technical team. You know, there I am, the only one in white for some reason. There's Lisa and our network engineers. You can see it's about 9:30 in the morning. This is probably following one of our project meetings, and we just took a quick snapshot. Everybody's got their Starbucks. We've got a Starbucks on campus, so you know we're cooking and cranking. And just to kind of give you an idea of scope of the project team, you know, we got a handful of people from you know, web services, networking systems, admin computing, and then we have Sheila Shidney's group, Nancy's group, over web marketing doing their jobs. And then, like I said before, we had a guy named Joe O'Donnell from F5 who came and helped out, and that was a huge help. So, not to get too cheesy with this, but you know, we know all the standard analogies, you know, sports analogies, and that, you know, sports teams, and what goes into making a good sports team. And Coach Stevens and his team, you know, phenomenal set of players who, you know, had all the common elements that we know of. You know, they had predetermined goals, clear goals and roles, solid leadership, teamwork, trust, preparation, sacrifice, and then finally execution. And of course, you know, a little bit of luck goes a long way. I think that we had the same thing, and it was kind of a phenomenal group of people that came together. You know, in terms of our goals, you know, our goal was zero downtime. We didn't necessarily reach that goal, but that was our target. Like I said, we didn't succeed as much as we'd like, and there's things that we can learn, but we did our best. And then web marketing's goal was to inform and communicate, and obviously we need to support that, make that happen. You know, roles, everybody knew what was expected of them. You know, we clearly knew, you know, we were technical, your content communication, and within the group, everybody knew what they were supposed to do. And then this role of facilitator, I think that this was kind of important, and it kind of shifted. It started with our boss, Kathleen Wilkie, kind of acting as facilitator in the beginning. She doesn't necessarily know the technology that well, but she knew the goals and kind of keeping people focused and what we needed to achieve in these little agile cycles. And that facilitator role would change, I noticed, as we went through all this, that someone else would kind of bubble up and kind of become the facilitator depending on what was going on. So I just can't say enough about the people involved. You know, obviously leadership above and within, so people, you know, like I said, bubbling up, and that changed depending on the circumstances. You know, in terms of our teamwork, coordinated effort, we were constantly meeting. And this was a unique set of individuals who had not necessarily worked together before, even within IT. I mean, we don't do a lot of work necessarily with the engineering group, and they certainly don't work with the marketing group. I mean, we work with the marketing group on a regular basis. So you got this really weird combination of people who are working together on this one thing. Everything else went out the window. This was, you know, we are doing this. Everything else doesn't matter right now. And it worked well. And then trust. You know, we all trusted each other. We know you're hired because you're good at what you do, and we trust what you say, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it well. And then kind of the coach, so to speak, our CIO, Scott Kincaid, he was awesome through this whole thing. You know, some guys like to meddle and get involved and disrupt, and he didn't do that. You know, he trusted the team like he should, and he stayed out of the way. He only got involved when it was absolutely necessary to help us do some testing. You know, he was there a couple late nights just, you know, basically just kind of playing tester and doing, you know, just mundane stuff that he could help us do, and every once in a while suggesting something. But it was pretty awesome. He just kind of sat back and let us do our job. So, you know, in preparation, of course, all teams need to be well prepared, and I mentioned that I think that some of the things that we did in the past really contributed to our preparation. And this insistence that important projects get done, that they get resources and time. And what I mean by that is that I know that sometimes, at least in our environment, we've got marketing needs and we've got technical needs, and it's hard to push back sometimes and just say, okay, I realize that you've got this thing that you think is urgent, but there's really these projects that really are important for our long-term success, and to really try to carve out that time and do what you can to see that, you know, what they think is urgent sometimes isn't urgent, and the important stuff really needs to. It's kind of that basic Stephen Covey stuff coming into play, right? So, and of course, sacrifice. And this is, you know, all teams that on the court and off the court, they've got some level of sacrifice. We had to sacrifice projects. Groups were being sacrificed in terms of what they were trying to accomplish. Personal sacrifice. Our director, Kathleen Wilkie, she was not supposed to be coming back for like weeks. And she came back off of a surgery to get this whole thing kind of kicked off because she realized this, we really needed to do something here. Nate, one of the network engineers, he just had his wisdom teeth pulled. So he's staggering in on medication, you know, barely comprehending what's going on. We had multiple people on this team that missed important birthday celebrations, you know, girlfriends, spouses, whatever. So there were people in the doghouse over this whole thing. People who dragged themselves in with some extreme illness, lost sleep, you know, people just going above and beyond, driving down to campus to physically recycle something because, you know, the remote access isn't working or what. I mean, you name it. It was truly madness behind the scenes. And then execution. You know, again, preparation meets opportunity. We had to be swift, but we also had to be patient. So it was these little quick test cycles and then immediately into production to see if that worked. Now, I know that, you know, some some of you may be wondering, well, what was kind of the financial impact? And there's different ways to look at this, and I don't get real detailed with this, but just something that crossed my mind. You know, you had the pre-project costs, all the projects that we did before, the right stuff that kind of contributed to this. You know, some things were free. Our internet provider allowed kind of this freebie of this 1 gigabit bandwidth burst. We normally are about 500 megabit. We never needed this, but they basically kind of gave that to us as kind of a helping hand. I talked about the web accelerator license for $25,000. But then you got about 12 dedicated team members. At any point, we were ranging between 10 and 15 people on this project. And you got about 12 people. This is kind of rough numbers here. But, you know, they're working probably on the average about 6 hours a day on this for 10 days straight, you know, maybe about $25 per hour considering our salaries. You know, that's $18,000 worth of labor right there that went into this project, which is almost $2,000 a day. So it's kind of interesting. It's like this was the focus. So, and those are probably, kind of a little conservative numbers, but just something to think about. Okay, so this slide originally was a little bit earlier in the presentation, but be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. You know, we all talk about how do we increase our web traffic to our website, but are we really ready for it? I don't know if you guys remember the movie Aladdin. At the end of the movie, Jafar wants to be a genie, right? Well, that didn't really necessarily be the best wish, as he learned as he ends up in the lamp at the end. He wants to be all powerful, but it came with a price. So, you know, are you ready for your traffic? And one of the things that we kind of identify is that, you know, there's steady traffic and then there's burst traffic. And maybe as we have discussions the rest of this week with some of you in terms of how we can structure this, maybe there's different ways to approach those two different things. But any event could trigger traffic. You know, in our case, it was something positive. It was NCAA, but it could be, you know, some shooting on campus, for God's sake, or anything, planned or unplanned. Good news or bad news. So you just don't know what's going to drive the traffic to your site. And was Butler ready? Barely. Barely. We managed, but we definitely have some work to do in gearing up for spring. So are you ready? Can the technology support the marketing, in other words? Again, important projects versus urgent projects. And then I would just kind of jokingly say that I think that can be careful what you wish for can be applied to high-ed web presentations. I attended high-ed web for the first time 2 years ago and recognized some faces. And this is my first time back, and now I'm presenting. And originally, that's not what was supposed to happen. When I brought up the idea that we should present this to high-ed web back in May, I wasn't coming. There were two other team members who were coming to high-ed web, and it was like, hey, why don't you guys present that? So next thing I know, I'm here and I'm doing this. But like I said, I definitely have a whole new appreciation for those of you who present at high-ed web, because it takes a lot of work. So lessons learned. It definitely validated our reasons for virtualization. That was definitely the right move to get that going. And that, you know, we do need to be diligent. You know, we need to focus on important things that we do. Like I said, we are currently planning for March. This definitely increased, you know, the interest in Butler. It increased applications. It increased enrollment. And we have a record freshman class this year, partially due to this. Some people in enrollment management will tell you, no, I didn't have anything to do with this, but we know better. And as we're looking at the numbers going into next year, we already know the applications are way up. So the pool that we have to choose from is even larger. And, you know, I could see us maybe even exceeding this next year. So basically the moral of the story is that luck favors the prepared, darling. We were barely prepared, but you definitely need to do due diligence. So I probably got done a little soon. I don't know how much time I have left. Glenn, yeah?
First of all, looking forward to playing you guys this summer. My question is more for the web marketing. What did you do to capitalize on that traffic? Were there any initiatives of athletics fundraising, user-generated content from the games, people that might have been there, you know,
Yeah, there's all kinds of that. We created a page just for basketball that just
That's a great question, and that's where we are. I mean, it's Joe Indiano, who's the director of the Networking and Services Group. I mean, that's what he wants to decide is there a way to kind of look at this, you know, in terms of a modular way, and that what other people are doing, is there a way to kind of push it to the cloud when you need to and bring it back when you don't? Is there a way to push only pieces of that to the cloud? Is there a way we can, fund, having some of that technology in-house, like the Web Accelerator license? Is that the right thing? That's a big question mark. We don't, and that's where we are. We're trying to figure that out as to what is the best thing to do. So again, I'm not coming here saying, hey, look at us, we really got this figured out, because we don't. So that's a good question. Okay, so has everybody got their business cards to Nancy? I told you I was gonna try to make it worth your while. All right, so the first thing is a little miniature Butler basketball. So, do we have enough cards in here? All right, who we got here? Rosemary Dutka. There you go. Thank you for coming. Everybody likes stuff, so. Now we got two different shirt designs and two different sizes of each. So maybe all of you get a shirt at the end. If you don't like the design or size, maybe you guys can do some sort of swap, make it all work out. But so we've got two of these. Okay. All right. Mark Heffington. Woo! There you go. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. And the other shirt. How are we doing on time, Glenn? About 5? Okay, yeah, we'll get done just in time. Cool. All right, so final 4. T-shirt. I better look away. Look away, look away. What have I got here? Piece of paper. Jamie Miller? Aha. There you go. Thanks. And another one of these. We're going to be down to like 2 names left when we're all said and done. What do we got here? Tom. Wow.
Okay.
Tom W. Thanks, man. And one more shirt and then a really cool thing. No, it's all cool. It's very cool. By the way, this was Lisa's idea. I was like, we need to do something. She's like, let's give him some swag. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. Tim Martin. Go. Thanks. And last but not least, a really sweet Butler hat. I would put it on my head, but I think that would kind of freak people out. I have to wear that after he does. Eric Beck. Aha. There you go. Thanks for coming, Eric. Cool. Well, thanks for coming, everybody. I appreciate it. I'm sorry?
I'm a certified level 2 professional from Rockets.
Oh, okay. Donald, okay, nice to meet you. Yeah, we Chris Dunn, I don't know if you know that name or not, he was on our team until about 6 months ago, was with us for a couple of years. He helped us kind of decide that was the route to go, you know, shopping around, and it's worked out really well for us so far. Oh, okay. We might need to look into that.
There's a group, it's called a snapshot covering Europe. The best thing, the whole snapshot of your site, turned to an ASPX.
Interesting.
Website, so it's all Looney database.
Snapshot, okay.
So you can drive those back in to manage all the content.
Cool.
If SQL wasn't slowing it down.
Well, in that case, yeah, but just to take that out of the equation, though, maybe something to at least explore, yeah.
You're still making X amount of calls to the database.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. We were lucky. It didn't fail on us, but you know, to minimize that would be ideal. So.
Solid job.
We had a couple that just
didn't.
Sadly, we're in this kind of weird transition. I shouldn't say sadly. Chris left, but he still contracts with us, especially over the Umbraco stuff. So we've got two developers on our team. In fact, we had a new person starting today, but she's more front side. But we're both trying to get up to speed on .NET so that we can try to support that. I think she actually got certified, Umbraco certified. So level one. So yeah. So it's a process. But yeah, I'll definitely have to look into that. Mention to our team. Here it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and also, we just did an Umbraco install a couple months ago, and we run about 3,500 pages, and we consistently see around 4,000 or 5,000 hits.
Yeah.
Unique, probably more like 3,000 or 4,000 a day, but around 4,000 a day.
Okay, so you guys are definitely getting.
We're pretty heavy loaded.
Are you guys doing virtualization or?
Yeah, we do.
You were the one who posed the question about long-term costs, right? So, I mean, how are you guys supporting?
We have, we buffer it. Huge system with a lot of these kind of things. So every college is kind of different. So we go down, our servers and house go down, we have backups and another part of the unit that's completely ours.
Right.
That goes down, we have another place.
So, yeah. Yeah, we've got half of that basically.
So that's where
our graduation rate is 100% for us.
And
sister
we've never really tested it. We have
great students for
that money necessarily.
That's
the ORAT.
It's all the same.
We don't have the FI.
Right.
But if we run into a hit, we can always just take the server down for 2 minutes, add more RAM, add more anything we need, and then bring it back up. Because right now we're running, it's an 8-core.
Okay, so you got like twice as much as even we had allocated, yeah.
And we started with four.
Back. say, make an impact on today's students. So,
yeah.
It'll be curious to see how it